Local radio for Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
Jamalo's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamalo, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Pompey's incredible EFL Trophy winning streak has ended.
Longello is trying to go round the outside of his man, and he's got to the byline, he's got a cross in the box, and a shot on target is into the back of the net, and it's West Ham under-21s who take the lead.
The Blues were dealt a hammer blow in midweek, suffering defeat for the first time in almost 3 years in the EFL Trophy. And manager Kenny Jackett will be on the show tonight with his assessment of the match. Stick around to find out who the gaffer is talking about here.
He's a good player, and you know, situations change. You have to have a squad. He'll be pushing hard, and if he came off the bench, he showed tonight, you know, he has some pace and some movement.
We'll also be hearing from defender Sean Raggett, who takes us through a preview of Pompey's next league match.
These are the sort of games you want to play, and they've had a good start to the season, just like us, and you know, it'd be a really tough game, and one I'm excited by.
So, another one bites the crust, but Pompey's Papa John's trophy quest continues, and the dream of three consecutive titles is still alive. As always, we'd love to hear from you back home between now and seven. Let us know your score predictions for Pompey's trip to Plymouth on Monday night. All the ways to get in touch can be found on our website, expressfm.com. A very good evening and welcome along to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome along once again to another edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of every Pompey match day and passionate Blues debate twice a week, every week. This season, Stagecoach Across the South are the proud sponsors of the show. You can download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. And please remember that a face covering is mandatory whilst on public transport. On the way tonight, we've got another jam-packed hour of Pompey discussion, including the latest injury news, a roundup of the events of Tuesday's Papa John's Trophy tie, and a preview of the next fixture. The Blues travel to Plymouth Argyle on Monday night. This evening, as we always do, Pompey fans, we want you to get in touch with the panel to let us know your thoughts, queries and predictions too. How would you assess the performances of Pompey's youngsters in midweek? Who do you think should start on the left at Home Park on Monday night, with Michael Jacobs out injured still and Ronan Curtis away on international duty? And what do you predict the outcome of that match to be? All the ways to get involved are as follows. Text Express, followed by your name and message, to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or head on over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Before we get into any of that, however, we're going to take you back in time to Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, as Kenny Jackett selected a very young blue side to take on the under-21s of West Ham United in the final group stage fixture of this season's EFL Trophy. Both sides had already qualified for the knockout stages, but up for grabs at Fratton Park was home advantage in the next round. And your commentary team for this one was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Live.
Well, the debate amongst Portsmouth fans continues about writs of cup runs in a season when League One promotion is very much the priority. But tonight it's a second string side put out by Kenny Jackett in the EFL Trophy, and a very young one at that. We still don't know when last season's final will take place, or perhaps more importantly, when fans will finally be refunded. Pompey already secured themselves a place in the knockout rounds of this year's competition. Tonight's match with West Ham's Academy is a battle for home advantage in round two. Longello is trying to go round the outside of his man, and he's got to the byline, he's got a cross in the box, and a shot on target is into the back of the net. And it's West Ham under-21s who take the lead in just the fourth minute. Cut back from the left byline. It was so easy for the cross to come in. And I think it's Kai Corbett who has guided the ball into the back of the net. It's Portsmouth nil, West Ham under 21s. What? Morris wins it and Pompey are away and driving forward. They've got an option away to the right-hand side. Kavanagh was through. The ball didn't come to him from Stanley. Hawula in the box. Hawula wants to get a shot on his right foot. He does. It's straight at the goalkeeper and Trott saves comfortably. Still 1-0 West Ham. It's still loose and West Ham still can't get it away. Back into the box. Bolton shot over the bar. What a chance. James Bolton on his left foot. Corbett driving towards the penalty area. Only Bolton to beat. Shot on goal. It's a crossbar and the ricochet is going to go behind for a goal kick. What an effort. The full-time whistle goes here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have lost a match in this competition for the first time in more than 1,000 days.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 1-0 loss at home to West Ham under 21s in midweek. The Blues' first trophy defeat in 1,037 days. Approaching 3 years since the last time they suffered defeat in the competition against the Chelsea under-21s in January 2018. An incredible record. I guess it had to come to an end at some point, didn't it? Ryan Stillwell joins me for tonight's conversation. Ryan, a very good evening to you, my friend, and thanks for calling in to chat tonight.
And to you, Mr. Smith. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's been an interesting week of football, hasn't it? We've had the EFL Trophy, the final kind of round of group stage fixtures and that. We've had, of course, the important qualifiers of the Euro 2021 last night. And I know you're a happy man, Ryan, so just get it out of the way. Congratulations.
David Marshall, come on. The 22-year wait is over for Scotland.
If you haven't seen it, Scotland have made it through to their first international tournament in, what, 22 years?
22 years. World Cup 98, yeah. I should say, when they took on the likes of Brazil. And obviously, Euro 2021, it will now be labelled, will now be in the same group as England, yeah. Played at Wembley. Yeah. So that's one way to return. But yeah, fantastic night last night. And I was with some of my family watching it who are all Scottish, and spoke to the rest of them today who are still based up in Scotland. And yeah, they're all over the moon. It's been a long time coming.
So for the Scottish Blues listening in, congratulations. Well done. We'll see you at Wembley next year. For the English fans, don't worry. I'm sure we'll smash them. Now, Ryan, moving on. You were at the game on Tuesday evening to cover the match for us, Pompey versus West Ham under-21s. Although it was a defeat for the Blues, you can't help but really come away from that game and feel a sense of pride as opposed to feeling disappointment.
I left Fratton Park with no disappointment at all. When you look at the team sheet, the result was irrespective. There was nothing riding on the game. All there was to determine if Pompey would play home or away in the next knockout round. And as we've seen recently, playing away doesn't exactly phase this team. So you see the team sheet, a lot of youth players in there. I think 6 debuts were handed to academy players. I'm obviously never like to see Pompey lose, but it didn't get me down, because when I saw the team sheet, I thought, you know, the result's not the point tonight. It's just getting some of these players, you know, beginning to take the next step to play with and against players of a higher physicality, of a higher technicality, of a higher mentality, and see if they can slowly adjust to the rigours of a better game. And some of them looks like they have a future in the game, that they could, you know, one day adapt and evolve to meet that. I thought Charlie Bell making his debut in central midfield, you know, for a very young player to be chucked into the centre of the pitch and told to basically have an influence upon the game, I thought he was quite impressive. Ewan Teggett on the left-hand side, his balls into the box were a little bit unfortunate at times, because I'm not sure players really gambled on his balls being where they needed to be, and sometimes they weren't. There was no forward there, so and in the end they looked like bad crosses when there's no one there. But I thought he put enough dangerous deliveries into the box, and there are a couple of other players. Harry Kavanagh didn't do too badly. So you look at the, you know, we've had quite a few of these next generation Pompey players before. We've had a few of them play in our team, in the likes of Close and Houndstrup and Watmore and Chaplin and Bass. We may be looking at, in a few years, another crop of players coming through. If you want to add another one to the list that's already forcing his way into the team, it's Haji Manoga. So, yeah, no disappointment at all. I was happy that the players got a run out, and in a very you know, pressure-free situation. Because if you get chucked in where the game matters,
yeah,
it can hinder you a bit. So I was very happy they got to see the pitch and get some valuable senior minutes under their belt.
Yeah. Alongside you this evening, Ryan, is Tom Malley. Tom, same again to you, mate. Very good evening. My thanks for you for joining us for the next hour or so.
Yeah, good evening, mate. Thanks for having me back.
No problem whatsoever. And Tom, the average age of Pompey starting 11 on Tuesday night was 21.1. And as Ryan mentioned there, 6 debuts handed out to academy players. Charlie Bell, the academy reserves captain, 17 years old from North End. You had Alfie Stanley, who scored 26 goals in 26 games for the academy last season. Harrison Brook, he started. And off the bench came Harry Jewett-White, Harry Kavanagh and Suk Jai Lee. So a very youthful side, Tom. And as we've already kind of alluded to, it was a 1-0 defeat. It was very narrow. The goal came very early on in the match. 4th minute, Kai Corbett, who for the West Ham under-21s actually seemed quite a threat. But from that point onwards, you know, you look at the kind of the last 86 minutes of the match, if you may, it was actually quite a very decent account of, you know, this youthful Pompey side against an opposition who play in the Premier League too, which is the Premier League's kind of, you know, academy equivalent of the top division.
Yeah, definitely. And I agree with everything Ryan said as well. Obviously, it was nice to want to finish top of the group just for satisfactory reasons, to be honest. But I think this competition is exactly what it's, you know, suitable to bring these players through and to see a mixture of them with some first teamers in there was brilliant. And I think, to be honest, it's about time. I don't think Kenny Jackett's played enough of these youngsters in the team in the EFL Trophy before. So to see that was actually quite pleasing, to be honest.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well, Ryan, how it was a learning curve for some of these players. But for the likes of Hadji Manoga in particular, who we've seen to be perhaps on the cusp of bursting into the first team, he's played recently against Lincoln. He came on for a few minutes at Sinsel Bank in the league. He came on against Ipswich in the FA Cup. So he's got first team experience under his belt, but perhaps not necessarily considered as a first teamer as such as of yet. But that game on Tuesday night was a learning curve for him in particular, because he is kind of in that limbo between being a kind of one of these academy players who don't get featured for the first team and actually a first team player. So he's getting a balance of both kinds of, you know, both ends of the stick right now.
Yeah, he's seeing both sides of the ball, as you were. And this was one I was trying to figure out midweek. Do I classify Manoga as a senior or as a youth player? And in the end, I think you just have to call him a young senior, because he is on the cusp of that first team now. He does apparently seem to have the number two right back spot over James Bolton, who seems to have been shifted inside to be centre back depth, which, if it's the case, fair play to him. He's played there before. But then I think that would pretty much conclusively end the conversation that Hadji Manoga is now a full senior level. If he is the number two right back spot, if he is coming on in League One in the FA Cup, and he nearly scored in that FA Cup game on Saturday. Fantastic sort of run from deep. No one had spotted it, and unfortunately just couldn't keep a shot below the bar. So there's enough to see in there from Manoga, A, in terms of what he can bring to the table when he's on the pitch. There is such a ferocity to the way he gets up and down the flanks and puts pressure on players. And there's enough to see in the fact that his name's on the team sheet every week that I would classify him as a senior. And that's another good, you know, good piece of news for Pompey, because there had been a little bit of a break between any academy players breaking out from the academy into the first team. It had been a bit of a while since that had happened. Not that it was concerning. You were just wondering who was actually going to be the next to sort of break through. And yeah, Manoga certainly looks like that's the case for him. Put a very good account of himself when we played at Southend last month in another trophy group stage game. In fact, he was contender for man of the match that night. And Tuesday was a bit more muted, didn't quite have the influence on the game. But I don't really mind that. You know, I just like the fact that he is getting more football in the first team level. He's played in 3 different competitions already for the team this season, and that'll only increase his development at an exponential speed. We're in the middle of November right now. If we're to have this conversation in half a year's time, when we're at season's end, we could be looking at Hadji Manoga, which isn't too far off actually being a full-fledged starter.
Yeah. Okay, Ryan, Tom, thank you very much. Hold tight. We're going to hear now from Pompey boss Kenny Jackett, who spoke to our colleague from Radio Solent, Andy Moon, on the touchline following Tuesday night's defeat at PO4.
Yeah, I felt it was a useful exercise for us. Some minutes for our senior players. I thought, you know, the likes of Downing, Hawula showed very well, and 90 minutes for them is good for us to be able to get them to play. And then varying degrees of young players playing, some like Haji Minoga, who's made his debut last week, Lincoln, and then Ipswich as, you know, substitute appearances. But, you know, right down to the likes of Harrison Brook, people like that coming on, and their first taste of first-team football.
No senior players even on the bench tonight. What was the thinking there?
Yeah, I felt that the congestion in the fixtures is just maybe a little bit too much. I didn't want to risk anybody, and you know, unless we get injuries back, there may be one or two of the lads tonight that need to play next Monday, but really I wanted to be able to, you know, be clear, have a few days in midweek where we can give our players a rest, because it's not only has there been a lot of games, but there's been a lot of travelling as well, and going down to Plymouth obviously is my priority. Having said that, you know, we've qualified for this competition, there's decisions that need to be made in terms of young players, and also as well, there has to be opportunities for young players, you know, lads like Harry Jewett-White, Sam Brooke, Suk Lee, just coming on just at the end, and them having a taste and being able to mix in, and where we can as well, play in front of us.
Will you just sort of think about for the next round? Will you go with a similar selection, or see where you are and where the squad is?
Yeah, 100% we'll see where we are and where the squad is. And as I said last week, there was a lot of travelling, some tough games, didn't want to risk any injuries. But also, there has to be opportunities for young players somewhere along the line as well. It's marrying the two up. And you know, as far as ourselves, we didn't think it was worth risking any senior players.
Six debutants tonight. How do you feel the youngsters got on?
Yeah, it's great for them. The difficult part is actually working and integrating at the moment. As you know, with the COVID situation, you have to be very careful. And you know, when you play a 23 squad now like West Ham, you're playing against a team, and it's a team that work together. And you could see ourselves, I thought tonight, you know, we were a collection of individuals at times, and working off two sites, and you know, that can stop the teamwork and the cohesion as well.
Would you like to have seen a bit more perhaps going forward?
Yeah, we felt that probably our best opportunity to score was through Jordi Hawula. We gave him some good balls in the first half, and he got in behind. Keeper made Trott made one fantastic save with his legs inside left position, but he did look sharp. But that probably got less as the game went on, and we couldn't get enough support up to him.
It's tough for him to try and break in that team the way it's playing at the minute.
Yeah, but he's a good player, and you know, situations change. You have to have a squad. He'll be pushing hard, and if he came off the bench, he showed tonight, you know, he has some pace and some movement and some experience, and if you do get him the chances, I do think he can score.
Final couple, is there any update on Andy Cannon, where he might be injury wise?
Yeah, Andy Cannon's you know, responding well to treatment. It doesn't seem to be you know, too optimistic in terms of next week, but he is responding well, and it's only a slight injury with his groin. The first two back will be Andy Cannon and Jack Watmore. Whether they make Plymouth, I don't know, but it'll be soon after that.
The gaffer Kenny Jackett there with his assessment of the midweek EFL trophy tie at Fratton, which saw the Blues defeated by a 1-0 at the hands of the West Ham under-21s. Very shortly, we'll be moving the conversation along to preview the next game, and we've got a pre-match interview with Sean Raggett to look forward to as well.
He's done well. I think I've enjoyed playing with him. I feel, you know, when you play with a new partner, you do need to build a sort of rapport with each other, and I think we've started to do that. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it.
When we return from the break, we'll be looking through some of your text, tweets and emails and continuing to discuss what the future holds for Pompey and promising talent coming through the youth ranks. 81400 is the number to text. Don't forget to start those with the word Express. Otherwise, it's at ExpressFM on Twitter, Pompey at ExpressFM.com on the emails, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Pompey Live. We've got even more Blues chat, debate and interaction on the way next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to part two of this Express FM Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. If you're in need of transport across the city without a faff, then download the Stagecoach app now to plan your next journey. As always, we look forward to hearing from you back home over the course of the show. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address. It's at expressfm on Twitter. Or you can head over to facebook.com/Pompey Live. Adam Swift has just done that on the emails. Adam, good evening to you. He says, good evening, Jake and the lads. Being 2 points behind second place Ipswich and 2 points above Plymouth, Monday's opponents, it really is a must-win game if we mean to keep in touch with second place. I think a second place automatic position is far easier than the playoffs, and we can achieve that with a bit of consistency. It's an away game, so there's no home bogey that seems to have developed. A win on Monday may leave us in third or fourth place, as only Sunderland and Hull play this weekend. Alan and Southsea. Alan, thank you very much for getting in touch. And we'll be previewing that game a little later in the show, Alan, so stick around to hear our thoughts on that one. But we are going to go back and continue to discuss Tuesday's defeat against West Ham under-21s. And we've already discussed kind of the promising talent coming through, Tom, but looking at the competition as a whole, we know Pompey are through to the round of 32. Now, we haven't played last year's final yet, but there is still a possibility that the Blues could make it three in a row. So whilst it was a defeat, we are still through to the next round, and that's really, I guess, all that matters.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know the majority of Pompey fans would rather we get out of the cup competitions as soon as possible and focus on promotion, because arguably it has hindered our progress in the league, and, you know, we've fallen short in the playoffs twice. Obviously, I'm sure Jackett's pretty happy and the rest of the squad are, and I to be honest, I think he should use the next match, whether we go out or not, to give these players more minutes. On the fringes of the first team and the youngsters coming through.
Yeah. One of the questions I posed at the start of the show, Ryan, was whether or not perhaps the youngsters on Tuesday night were perhaps let down by some of the senior players within the team who, you know, you said after the game on Tuesday night, you can't really pinpoint either one of Paul Downing, James Bolton or Bryn Morris, who actually gave a good account of themselves to prove themselves to the manager that they could be selected for the next league match. So do you think there was a sense of disappointment for the youngsters that they weren't perhaps aided as well as they could have been by the more senior pros in the team?
It was partially that, in the sense that very much some of the younger players on the pitch, I've really hoped that Charlie Bell would have had almost like a mentorship with Bryn Morris in the middle. But come the end of the game, their performances were on a similar level, which, when you think about it initially, isn't too bad until you realise Charlie Bell's 17 and that's his first professional game of football. Yeah. And Morris was essentially the same as him, if not a little bit sort of under par in comparison. So there was that. I thought this would have been a good chance for the senior fringe players to, you know, you obviously can't make too much for an argument to say, I played well in an EFL Trophy game against West Ham under 21s, I should be starting away at Plymouth. But you can at least lay the foundations for it. And of the senior players, this will be Alex Bass, James Bolton, Paul Downing, Bryn Morris and Jordi Hawula. Again, we'll sort of leave Minogue out of the discussion because he's drifting in between at the minute. But out of all of those, only James Bolton, to me, had a sort of acceptable authoritative performance as a senior.
Yeah.
Paul Downing very quietly existed on the pitch. Whether or not he played poorly or not, it's really hard to tell, because West Ham were sort of focusing on the flanks more often than they were focusing right in the central areas of the pitch at times, because they were trying to stretch it with the 3-4-3. So, you know, Downing, I couldn't really get a good read on, but that was partly because James Bolton was normally breaking rank, and sometimes that's a bad thing, but he was breaking rank with quite good awareness to close down a loose ball, to get a really firm challenge in there. He was the only one who tried to put the game on his back as a senior and say, I'm one of the older, more experienced guys here. Yeah. I will lead by example, as it were. He was the only guy out there from me from front to back as a senior that put in a shift that reflected that. I thought Alex Bass, sometimes his distribution was a bit too wobbly for a guy that's got a pretty good leg on him, and it was reportedly one of the reasons he was brought into the team around New Year, because McGillivray's distribution wasn't quite up to scratch by comparison. Didn't think Bass distributed the ball well enough, and sometimes when there were quite a few times when Eowyn Taggart and Harry Cavanagh or Harrison Brook, when he was on, when they were going up the flanks with a load of green in front of them, Bass could have easily, you know, tried to drop it over the defence into those gaps and didn't take it. So, you know, he didn't have too much to do outside of that. So that's where your distribution has to come in. Just didn't see that. And Jordi Huwula, we heard a lot about his pace when he joined the club. And again, a couple of nice flashes of skill in the first half, but he looked far too static. He didn't make any darting runs to the near post for balls into the box. He didn't get between the centre backs for a through ball opportunity. He just didn't seem like a guy who's out of the club in 2 months. So potentially a case for letdown. I just think, more importantly, these guys had a chance to say, we're still here.
Yeah.
Don't forget about us. I think only one of them made an argument to say, you know, just remember my name. And that was James Bolton. Yeah.
In terms of these senior players, then, Tom, you know, considering everything that Ryan's just mentioned there, do you think that perhaps the kind of, again, like Ryan said, you know, not necessarily poor performances, but quiet performances, could that be down to lack of gains, fitness, confidence? Because these are, yes, senior pros, but they're not exactly players who are playing week in, week out. So you can't really expect them to be in first gear for that entire match, regardless of your position or the competition, because they are players who are essentially forgotten at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's probably a lot down to lack of match action and confidence. I mean, especially when you look at players like Downing and Morris, who are always under fire from fans especially. And also, it's probably down to the fact that they were thrown into a starting 11 with 6 first-team debutants coming through. You know, the youngsters, they've probably never played with them. I don't know. They might have joined in training sessions and stuff, but they were all chucked on a pitch together. It was a bit of a mixed match, you know, looking at it from one point of view, with some first-teamers on the fringes of the first team, and then the youngsters. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there probably wasn't a lot of team chemistry going around at the time, and, you know, they haven't played together before, like I've said. So that was probably a big reason behind it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Stephen Jerome on the emails got in touch. He says, hi lads, not the result we wanted on Tuesday night, but I thought West Ham's under-21s performed well. To be fair to them, they defended really well after they scored their early goal, and when we had the ball, they pressured us well. Kept closing us down and didn't give us much time on the ball, especially in the second half. They were just too strong for us and deserved their win. We're still through to the next round though, so it's not all over yet, and I think we should be so proud of our team for the impressive run we've had without defeat in this competition. Finally, I want to give Ronan Curtis a mention. It was great to see him come on in the second half of the game last night. I thought he did all right for the Republic of Ireland when he came on, and he actually had a good shot on goal. I was probably a little unlucky not to score from it, to be honest, but it's an honour for any player to play for their country. I'm sure that'll give Ronan a lot of confidence. Stephen Selsey, thank you for your email there. Don't forget, Pompey fans, that like Steve, if you want to get involved with the conversation tonight, it's 81400 on the text. Start those with the word Express. It's pompey@expressfm.com for the emails, @expressfm if you're on Twitter, or it's facebook.com/pompeylive. I'll come back to you then, Tom, and you know, we've discussed the senior pros within this Pompey team, but looking again at the youngsters, it was a good experience for them against what is a very decent Premier League Academy side. They call themselves the Academy of Football, and that's okay, partly down to the fact that they believe they won the World Cup back in 1966, but it was a taste of first-team action against a good side, so taking a positive mentality will see these players progress.
Yeah, absolutely, and that would have done those players the world of good as well. You know, knowing that Jackett's put his faith in them as well. I just think this trophy is the perfect you know, excuse to breed these players through, and while they probably haven't been given enough chance to do that before, you know, well, that's just down to the manager, but they would have loved it, and you know, they'll probably be trying to stake their claim for a place in the next round as well, depending on who we get and the priority of this competition at the top of Jackett's list.
Yeah, and just before we do move on then, just very quickly want to talk about Jordi Huwula. You've already mentioned him a little bit earlier on in the chat, Ryan, but he looked quite isolated again, not much game time he's had recently, not necessarily a match in which you'd fully expect him to come out into first gear, but when we go to Plymouth on Monday night, again, we'll come on to this in full detail in a moment, but when you've got Michael Jacobs out injured, you've got Ronan Curtis out on international duty, that was really a game where you expected Jordi Huwula to stake his claim and show the gaffer why he needs to be selected for Monday night's game.
Well, the depth is, as you mentioned, currently looking a little bit thin for Plymouth. You've got John Marquis, Ellis Harrison. There's room for a number three there. Certainly, if Pompey were to go two up front, we haven't seen the combination of Marquis and Harrison much. We may see it Monday. Huwula would be the bench guy, and that's when you start to think, the impact of a player coming off that bench and trying to change the game a little bit. Starting a game on Tuesday night would have been the perfect example for him to settle into a game and to get a feel for the dynamic of 90 minutes of competitive football again. And there were just too few flashes. In fact, that's the problem. There were just flashes in the end. There were nice little feints and cuts in and out and a shot on goal towards the end of the first half. But in the second half, he didn't seem to have quite the awareness when, you know, someone was lining up a cross into the box or someone was looking for someone to make a run. He just didn't seem to be quite truly conscious of his surroundings and where he should have been. And if he's not currently at that level in an EFL Trophy game, you know, Plymouth's going to be a tough game Monday. They've started well, and we're going to have to put a somewhat changed team out. He probably won't be ready for that either. By the time the Plymouth game is done with, and we start to look forward to the next game, and the next away game, which is, I believe it's Blackpool, that's actually December. You know, our next away game after Plymouth is December, which in other words is 1 month before his contract goes. He has essentially got, you know, 45 days to prove that we should extend him to until the end of the season. At the moment, unless it's and we're talking emergency depth and we have no real plans or ambitions for the January transfer window, that's the only reason he stays, to be honest, unless we cannot pull anything off in January. And that's not a great endorsement of a player to say, you're only here because we couldn't sign anyone in January. So I'm, you know, at the time I said it's a okay signing for emergency depth, but I don't expect him to make much of an impact. I currently maintain that position.
Yeah. Ryan, Tom, thank you very much. Let's look at some of the potential opponents for Pompey in the next round. The tie will, of course, be away after Tuesday's defeat. Pompey finished second in their group. The West Ham under-21s top of the table, which means they get home advantage in the round of 32. Colchester and Southend finish from the bottom two, so they are out of the EFL Trophy. Pompey will be away to either one of these teams: the Arsenal under-21s, MK Dons, Oxford United, Exeter City, Cheltenham Town, Leighton Orient or Cambridge United. They all topped their respective tables in the southern section of this season's EFL Trophy. When we get that draw, to be honest, we have no idea. We've had no news of when that draw is going to take place, but you can head over to expressfm.com for the latest Pompey news in, you know, respect to injuries and draws and everything of the such on our website, expressfm.com. OK, lads, we are running short of time now, so we're going to move on and look ahead to the Blues' next match, which is away to Plymouth Argyle. Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team has caught up with defender Sean Raggett, first asking if he is fit and ready to draw battle in Devon on Monday night.
Yeah, just a little light knock. I know it's nothing too serious, you know, and been out there today doing a little bit, and yeah, hopefully it won't keep me out of any games.
Was that from the Ipswich game that you picked that one up, or was that a training ground one?
It's something I've been carrying for a couple of games, to be fair. I think it was the sort of Northampton game I felt it first time, but, you know, that's how it's not a big injury, so I've managed to play a couple of games since then.
And, of course, you'll be very much hoping to take part on Monday because it's a big game against Plymouth.
Yeah, exactly. You know, these are the sort of games you want to play, and they've had a good start to the season, just like us, and you know, it'd be a really tough game and one I'm excited by.
You're both just outside the playoffs at the moment as well, so does that add a little bit of spice to it where you're both trying to sneak in there?
Yeah, of course. I think you can't look at the table this early, really, but at the same time, if you want to be getting in them top two places, you've got to be beating the teams that are probably going to finish around the playoff places, and Plymouth are probably one of them teams that will be looking to do that. So these are the games we need to get some points from.
Obviously, they've just come up from League Two as well, so they've got a bit of momentum behind them. Are those the kind of teams that you sort of need to look out for?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I know myself from previous experiences after getting promoted. When you go into the next league, you're full of confidence. You know, you feel like you can beat anyone, and that's how they'll be feeling. And that's why I think it'll be a real tough game for us.
You were a popular man after the Ipswich game. We didn't quite get a chance to speak to you. So, how did it feel to be the FA Cup hero again from that game?
Yeah, you know, it was a fortunate. I probably won't get an easy goal, and you know, but it's always good, and you know, I was just happy we could get the win and into the next round.
It was a must have been a little bit of an anxious wait because there was some discussions going on between the Ipswich players and the officials. How did you sort of view that one at the time? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, you know, it was one of them. It was pretty instinctive. It sort of dropped at my feet, and after I put it in, I probably thought, oh, maybe I should have just left that. And you know, it was a little bit nerve-wracking, but luckily the officials didn't spot anything.
And overall, it was, you know, a game that went the full distance, 120 minutes. How tough was it to get through that, especially considering you've been Saturday, Tuesday pretty consistently in the past couple of months?
Yeah, you know, I think it is tough, but at the same time, if you look at the game, I think there was only one team really pushing for that goal in extra time, and that was us. And that shows our level of fitness. So even though it might feel tough on our bodies, I think, if anything, it's a bit of an advantage to us, because I think we probably are one of the fittest sides in this league.
And of course, it was yourself playing alongside Rasmus in that game, as you have been recently. You sort of showed a bit of teamwork to put the winning goal away. How has it been playing alongside him?
Yeah, it's been really good, you know. He's a good player, and he's waited patiently for his chance to come in, and he's done well. I think I've enjoyed playing with him. I feel, you know, when you play with a new partner, you do need to build a sort of rapport with each other, and I think we've started to do that. So, yeah, I've enjoyed it.
Another recent result which, you know, sort of was a bit of a standout result was the win away at Lincoln. For a former Lincoln player such as yourself, it must be nice to go back there and come away with 3 points.
Yeah, of course. And they'd had such a strong start to the season. You know, they joint top at the time when we played them, and you know, they got some really good players in that team, but we went there, and it's up there with, I'll probably say, that and Sunderland being our two best performances this season. And, you know, going back there, you always want to win against your old teams, don't you? So I was really pleased with that.
Yeah, you mentioned the Sunderland game as well. Do you think those two results are the sort of big ones where you can sort of really give a notice to the rest of the league that you mean business?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, you always do in other teams. You look out for other teams' results, and I think a few teams probably would have looked at that and thought they must be a decent side this year, and you know, and we are. We've got some real top players here, and I think we can beat anyone in this league, and we showed it with them two games.
Sean Raggett there with Ollie Marsh looking ahead to Monday's League One fixture in Plymouth, match day 12 for the Blues in the league this season. Myself, Ryan and Tom will be previewing that game very shortly, and we need you back home to help us through it as well. Text your name and message starting with the word express to 81400, email pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/pompeylive. We're looking for your score predictions in this part of the show, so be sure to stick around and stay tuned to Express FM. We'll be back in just a few moments for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part three of this Friday Football Hour, brought to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. It's great to have you along tonight, as it always is. We hope you've enjoyed the show so far. Don't forget, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you still can, though you don't have long left now. Just under 15 minutes to get your final thoughts and predictions through to us before we leave you at 7 o'clock. All the usual methods to get in touch this evening, it's @ExpressFM on Twitter. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or head over to facebook.com/pompeylive. We do have a Pompey game to preview now, though the Blues aren't in action for a couple more days yet. Tomorrow's fixture at Home Park has been moved to a 7:45 kickoff on Monday evening. Here's what we know about the upcoming opposition, Plymouth Argyle.
It's Monday night football for the Blues in match day 12 of League One this season. Pompey go into the next fixture, having been defeated in the Papa John's Trophy in their previous outing, but attention turns back to Kenny Jackett's main priority, the league. And up next for his side is Plymouth Argyle.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Pilgrims of Plymouth are up next for Pompey, who will be aiming to clinch victory at Home Park for the first time since August 2015, when Matt Tubbs and Gary Roberts both converted from the penalty spot to take a 2-1 victory back to PO4. It was a point apiece for these sides in the last time they met in 2019. A 1-1 draw in Devon was played out in a season which saw this week's opposition relegated back down to League 2. But Argyle came back again, and a lot has changed in the last 19 months. So what do we know about this new-look Plymouth side?
Manager.
A lot has changed at the Theatre of Green since Pompey last clashed with the Pilgrims. The largely opinionated Derek Adams has since moved on, having been relieved of his duties in April 2019, with Plymouth then battling relegation. The Scotsman was replaced later that summer by Ryan Lowe, who has just led Bury to automatic promotion from the division in which his new side was set to embark upon. In his first campaign at Home Park, the now 42-year-old achieved a third-place finish in the Football League's basement tier and has seen over a total of 60 competitive Argyle matches, from which he's won 30, lost 17, therefore managing a winning percentage of 50. This season is Ryan Lowe's first in management above League Two, having only recently retired as a player in 2018.
One to watch.
23-year-old Scottish striker Ryan Hardy is our one to watch for Plymouth Argyle. The Blackpool loanee scored 7 goals in 13 matches for the Pilgrims during his first loan spell towards the end of last season, which began brightly with a 45-minute hat-trick on his debut. Standing at 6'1" tall, the target man has been handed the number 9 shirt for the new season, his 7th in the professional game since signing his first pro contract with Rangers in 2014. Hardy is no stranger to a loan spell, having been shipped out twice to Raith Rovers, St Mirren and Livingston during his spell at Ibrox, which saw him make 13 appearances for the 54-time Scottish First Division champions. The striker has also represented Scotland at youth international levels up to and including the under-21s.
Top scorer.
With 5 league goals to his name, young forward Luke Jeffcott is the side's leading scorer. The 20-year-old made his professional debut in a League One fixture between Argyle and Burton Albion in October 2018, whilst the striker was still an apprentice. At the start of last season, Jeffcott was sent out on loan to non-league Truro City, but was recalled by Plymouth in January with the club aiming to surge to an automatic promotion push in League Two. In his first month back, Jeffcott netted 5 goals from 4 league starts, earning him the League Two Player of the Month and EFL Young Player of the Month awards at the same time. The forward, who has featured 7 times for Wales at youth level, has so far bagged 12 goals in 30 appearances for the Pilgrims since his debut 2 years ago.
Current form.
Plymouth Argyle head into this game on a good run of form, having won their last 4 matches in a row across all competition. They occupy 8th position in League One heading into the weekend's League One action. They've picked up 18 points from their opening 10 matches since the club's return to the division back in the summer. In their most recent outing, Ryan Lowe's side managed to overcome Newport County on home turf by 3-1 in the EFL Trophy, though they were still knocked out of the competition in its group stages. Will the Blues bounce back from Tuesday's trophy defeat and record a 7th straight win on the road? All the unmissable action is on Pompey Live.
The man of many talents there, Mason Jordan, with a closer look at Monday night's opponent, Plymouth Argyle. Managed Ryan, by your namesake, Ryan Lowe is the man leading the Pilgrims. Now, a lot has changed at Home Park and indeed at Fratton since the good old Paul Cook, Derek Adams days, haven't they?
They have indeed. In fact, I think when you mention those two managers of Derek Adams and Paul Cook, that was really what stemmed the rivalry. The heat of those two jarring on the touchline. And obviously Fratton Park's a very condensed, congested stadium. You're right up against the edge of the pitch. You hear every word and you see what's going on, and that leads to the stands getting heated. Then both managers never really shied away from the media in their respective times at respective clubs. You know, Derek Adams would make comments about Pompey, Paul Cook vice versa. They'd meet in the playoffs, they'd meet at crucial times of the season. So yeah, you could understand why there was a bit of heat at the time, but there has been a lot of change now. The culture has changed at Portsmouth, most definitely, with the backroom staff that are there now. They're far more reserved and conservative on the touchline. There's a different approach to the way the game's played. Plymouth have gone back to League Two since then and then come back to League One, to their credit. To the extent that Paul Cook and Derek Adams, the wrestling match we never got to see, it seems like a distant memory now.
Yeah.
The only people who seem to still buy into this are, of course, the organisations that are always outdated, the EFL and Sky Sports.
It's not a dockyard derby. Let's set that straight. This isn't a dockyard derby. It can be a very intense game when the fans are there. You know, it can be a tight affair, and it can be a raucous atmosphere. But it's not a derby. Tom, you know, Ryan mentions there about how, you know, it's been so long since those kind of days where, you know, games between Pompey and Plymouth were that intense. But looking ahead to Monday's game, it's going to be a lot different, and notably due to the absences in the squad. Now, we are suffering from a fair few injuries, of course. Michael Jacobs will be missing. Ronan Curtis is still with the Republic of Ireland squad. So Pompey's left flank options are very limited. We've previously mentioned Jordy Hawula. But who do you think will slot into that position on Monday night? Because you've got Jordy Hula, you've got potentially Ryan Williams could come into that area, maybe Marcus Harness, but then you've got to obviously alter other areas of the pitch. How would you approach this one?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm in two minds about this. You know, instantly you think, right, move Marcus Harness back out to the wing, but then that disrupts the new 4-4-2 system we've been playing, where Harness and Marcus have been working so well up top together. The only positive I'd see is moving Harness back out onto the wing is I'd love to see Harrison and Marcus up top together. I think that could be really dangerous. However, if we're going to keep Harness and Marcus in the two up top together, which I think is also wise, then I don't see why it wouldn't be... it wouldn't be an awful idea, but I think it might be worth trying Hula out on the left. I mean, this man's got a point to prove. As Ryan's already said, he's got till January to earn himself a contract.
Yeah.
He can play out wide on the left. He's got pace, so it, you know, it might be worth a gamble, but we'll have to see.
Now, of course, Pompey light in terms of, you know, injuries to the squad, we've already mentioned. Kenny Jackett is hopeful that maybe Andy Cannon and Jack Watmore might be fit for Monday night's game. However, I wouldn't expect too much. They will receive tests this weekend in training as to find out whether they will be fit for the match or not. I'm not personally holding too much hope for that one because we don't want to rush too many players in, you know, too quickly. But we've got options, Brian. Cam Pring at left back, perhaps. Rasmus Nicolaisen has given a decent account of himself recently. But in terms of that other centre-back option, if Jack Watmore's still not fit, Sean Raggett's picked up a knock in training this week. Maybe we're looking at Paul Downing again, or perhaps even James Bolton.
Based on what I'm seeing when it comes to the first team bench for games, it seems more likely that James Bolton would be the guy to come in should Sean Raggett also not be able to play. And based on what I saw Tuesday, with a more authoritative, defensively aware performance from Bolton, he would be my choice to go in there as well. Plymouth don't exactly have a man mountain up top, and that's probably where Downing would be preferential to Bolton. He's a bit taller than Bolton, a bit more physical. He's a bit better in the air, Downing, but that's not really the way Plymouth approach the game. So you should really be able to get away with Bolton comfortably stepping in there if it is required.
Got to get to some more of the text tweets and emails before we leave then. Stephen Jerome thinks it's going to be a tough game on Monday night. Plymouth are a good side, and we always seem to struggle a bit at home park, hoping for a Pompey win, but I'm going to have to be more realistic and go for a 2-2 draw, says Stephen Salcy. And just a stat to throw out to you, Pompey fans, Pompey with the best away record this season in the league. Plymouth have got one of the best home records in the league. They've not been beaten, whilst Pompey, of course, haven't been beaten on their travels. So it's going to be a very tight affair. And that's an interesting stat to throw out there before the game. Gav Jones on Twitter. Good evening to you, Gav. He says, I think the criticism of Jordy Hula is a bit unfair. Tuesday was the first proper run out that he's had for nearly a year, and he was thrown in with the academy lads, and he wouldn't usually play the academy lads, but he wouldn't usually play with, sorry. He also looked like the only capable player scoring that night. Roger in Gosport says, the Blues are suffering with injuries, may happen to be key players. Still onwards and upwards, Kenny Jackett has a headache to pick the team for Monday. 2-0 to Pompey's going. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport. And that is it for the text, tweets and emails. Just a final word. Havant Waterlooville, they're of course playing this weekend. Our only local side to be playing this weekend, of course, due to the lockdown. They're at home to Oxford City in the National League South, who too are also through to the second round of the FA Cup. They beat Northampton Town on Monday night in the last tie of the round. They'll play Shrewsbury Town away from home. So the Hawks are away to Marine in round two. They're two tiers below Havant Waterlooville. And if you missed it, Pompey host National League side Kings Lynn Town. So having towards Louisville at home to Oxford City this weekend. OK, then we've reached the part of the show where we reached out to you back home to hear more of your score predictions for the Blues next game. This week, we're away to Plymouth Argyle, and here's what you're saying back home then. Blake O'Neill says we're going to beat Plymouth 2-0. Paul O'Neill says I think we'll sneak it, but it will be a close game. Chris White's going for 3-1 Pompey. David Swinford is going for a 3-0 Pompey win. Thank you to everybody who got in touch with us over the course of this evening. Ryan Stilwell, Pompey away to Plymouth. A score prediction from you, please, sir.
I've learned to be wary of Pompey playing Plymouth on Sky Sports at home park. They're really good at home right now. We've got a little bit of a change issue going on, depth issue, but I do believe we'll still put in a competent performance. I see this being quite an entertaining 1-1. It'll be to and fro, but I do believe we'll get, even for the neutral, a good 1-1 to watch.
Ryan, thank you very much. And how about you, Tom Malley? What do you reckon?
With our you know, incredible away record at the moment. And with a full strength squad, I would confidently say a Pompey away win, a 2-1. But at the moment, with the, you know, lack of squad depth, I'm going to go for a 1-1 as well.
Guys, thank you both so much for calling in this evening. Tom, we'll speak to you soon, mate. Ryan, I'll see you on Monday. As for my score prediction, I'm going to be different. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I reckon there's goals in this game. Like I say, that Pompey's got the best away record. Plymouth, one of the best teams at home this season. I reckon there's goals in this one. 2-2 draw at Home Park. So there you are then. That is just about all we've got time for tonight. But do join us again for your next dosage of Blues action. Pompey away to Plymouth Argyle on Monday night, just 72 hours away.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
For the first time in 1,037 days, the Blues were defeated in the EFL Trophy, with West Ham under-21s winning at Fratton. Up next for Pompey, it's a return to league action, and it's Plymouth Argyle who await at Home Park. Join us for all of the Unmissable action Monday evening from 7. Plymouth versus Pompey will be right here.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Do join us for that one. It's the battle of the league's best home record and the division's best away record. It's set to be a good one. But before all of that, we've got plenty to look forward to over the next couple of days here on Express FM. Conor Moseley is back after the news at 7 with this week's instalment of Express Floor Fillers. He'll be here right up until 7 o'clock this evening. That's 4 whole hours of the biggest tunes and throwbacks to kickstart your weekend. There's still plenty to look forward to throughout the day tomorrow as well. Ian McGuinness wakes you up with Saturday Breakfast. Lily Park is back between 11 and 2. Ian James returns to take over from her. And then from 6 o'clock, Mason Jordan has another fantastic local music show. All local, all incredible. The home of the local music chart with Mayfield Records. On Sunday, the likes of Howard Hale, Russell Hill and Mark Greenwood will see you through the day with 3 brilliant shows before this week's coronavirus special between 6 and 7. Another chance to hear the biggest interviews from the past week regarding COVID-19 and this second national lockdown. Once again, just a reminder, there's no game for Pompey tomorrow afternoon. Monday night is when the Blues travel to Home Park to take on Plymouth Argyle. 7.45 kickoff with coverage starting here on Express FM at 7 p.m. Until then, Pompey fans, have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Stay safe. And of course, as always, play up Pompey. We look forward to hearing from you on Monday. Good night. Stay safe.